there is a concept that even an Eino Mitzvah V'Yaisa, there's Tosefes Kedusha. So the Abbas had a reason to keep the Tayyat Shalai Nitna because of Tosefes Kedusha. But on a Laisasa, Yutaka never hears such a thing. Imagine like this. Imagine a Kohen is not allowed to marry a Grusha. Now let's say I would say to myself, well, I'm a Yisrael, but I'm not going to marry a Grusha because I want to be machmer on myself as an Eino Mitzvah B'Yaisa to be Makayim, the mitzvah that the Torah gave to a Kohen. I mean, that doesn't make sense, actually, right? Why? Because marrying a Grusha is pogeim you if it's in violation of Hashem's commandments. If it's not in violation of Hashem's commandments, it doesn't do anything to you. Now, the Maisa, the Maral himself, it's a complicated question, because the Maral himself asks on his own chiluk, because number one, the Gemara says that if a person is kibush yetzer hara, and he's not over in Avera, it's ki'ilu he did a mitzvah, so you see that kibush yetzer does give you tesefes kedusha. Then he asks also, the Gemara in Avri Pesachim says, li'asid lavai, li'mosim Mashiach, who's going to lead Birchas HaMazon, right? And the Gemara says, Yaakov will not be allowed to lead it because Yaakov married two achias. But if there's no pagan, right? Okay. But me, it doesn't matter. The Maral says that intrinsically there's no pagan, but since later it would become usher, it wouldn't be appropriate for Yaakov to lead. Now, based on this svara of the Maral, the Metzuchah
Chacham... How does that answer the first question?
Of Avar Adam Blah, of Well, the answer, it doesn't answer the first question, but the Maral says that even so, since the Yetzirah only comes in when you're Mitzvah, so until you're Mitzvah, there's no Yetzirah either. Right? In other words, once I'm Mitzvah, I have a Yetzirah to transgress on. Now, based on this, the Meshech Chachma, who doesn't quote the Maral, but the Meshech Chachma Kamad says the same thing, says a Gevaldige Teretz to a Kasha Taisus asks. The Gemara in Nida discusses whether the tachrichei hames, right, the burial garments, are they allowed to be shatnas? Can I bury a mace in wool and linen garments? So the Gemara says it's totally on whether mitzvahs betelus liyasid lovei. There's a machlekes, although obviously the Rambam paskins mitzvahs will apply, but there's a machlekes, when there'll be tchias hamesim, will the Torah still be binding? So if you hold when there'll be tchias hamesim, the Torah will still be binding, you're not allowed to bury a mace in shatnas because there'll be tchias hamesim, you might still be wearing shatnas. So you're causing him to sin.
It sounds like those clothes, the clothes will disintegrate.
Yeah, that's a kasha. I mean, since it may Mary Gore just means since we don't know when it'll be, so maybe it'll be right away.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, might be tomorrow. But the Gemara says, if mitzvahs are going to be betelus, so Mimela will be no Israel shatnas later, and now he's dead. When he's dead, there's no mitzvahs. Kivin shemes, adam chashim and a mitzvahs. So the Gemara says you're allowed to bury him b'tachrich lehames. So frek taisus a gavaldik akasha. The Gemara says in Brachas that you're not allowed to wear tefillin within dalad amas of a mace. You're not allowed to wear tzitzis within dalad amas of a mace. Your tzitzis is not allowed to be out because of the pasuk in Mishle Avada that says lo yeg l'rush. You're making fun of a poor person. You're making fun of him. He can't do mitzvahs anymore. And you're doing mitzvahs. Huh? Well, she's not. We'll get to it. Someone actually said, I mean, in the modern Orthodox movement, they either want to get rid of Shalom Asani Isha, or they say if there's a woman in Shul, you're mechuyev to say it belachash, because of Layik L'Rush. Okay, but the question is Layik L'Rush. So what's Layik L'Rush? Because you can't do mitzvahs, and I do mitzvahs. So Fred Taisus Akasha, Eibazali, when I put shatness on a person, and I'm showing he's not mitzvah in shatness, why isn't it Layik L'Rush? So Zakti Meshech Chachma, Gevaldik Teretz, Mamash Alpi the Maral, that it's not Shayach Layik L'Rush on the violation of a negative commandment. Because like this, since tefillin adds kedusha to me, it makes me better than I was. Let's make up numbers, right? So before I put on tefillin, I was a 0.1. After I put on tefillin, I'm a 0.5. Every mitzvah I do is ma'ilamim. Unfortunately, we may cancel it out with others, but l'chalapachas, the mitzvah adds kedusha. And here you have a guy that died, he's static. Whatever he was, that's what he is. So he feels bad. His neshama feels bad. Here you have a chance to go up, 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 up. He doesn't have a chance to go up. That's la'eg l'rash. But with a laisasa, right? A laisasa, when I don't wear shatness, I don't go up. I just don't go down. Well, he doesn't go down either, because if when he died, he was at a 0.1, since the only reason shatness lowers your madrega is only when you're sinning against God, if he's not sinning, it doesn't make him worse. So memela anolaisa says Zaktimesha Chachma, it's not shy to say loyeg l'rush. Now, what is a kasha though, and this Meshe Chachma doesn't answer, and Taisus doesn't answer either, is the minag that we put a talus on a mace and we passel the talus. In other words, we actually put a talus on and we cut off one of the corners. Now there you're dealing with a mitzvos asay, which would add kedusha. Why isn't that laying the rush? No, that's a kasha. Now indeed, we have two different mice around this almost at the same time. One with the Vilna Gaon, the Gra, and one with someone a little before the Gra, the Yesod B'Sherish HaAvayda. There's also a great Litvisha, I was going to say Bal Mutzer, but it was before Rishol Slanger, but he was Rebbe Alexander Ziskind of Haradna, was a great tzaddik. I don't know if you've ever seen the Sefer, Yesod B'Sherish HaAvayda. It's a very, very emotional Sefer about Kavanas, like everything, the Kavanas that you have for every tefillah, every mitzvah, everything is full of different kabbalas that you have. So they both left instructions. I think he said it already, that was Nifter first. That when they died, they wanted to be buried in a kosher talus. In a kosher talus, a talus that was not nipsal. And in both cases, they were buried with a talus that was nipsal. Although they say the story that was puzzled, meaning what they wanted did not happen. But they tell us
that the Vilna Gaon wanted to be in a puzzled talus and they didn't.
No, the Vilna Gaon wanted to cut your talus. Okay, let me start over again. Both the Vilna Gaon and the Yesod B'Sherish HaAvoda wanted to be buried in a kosher talus. Neither of them got their wish. Okay, meaning both were buried in a non.
How can somebody not listen to that?
I'll tell you the story. That's why I'm going to tell you two stories. So both of them wound up being buried in a pasul talus, even though they both wanted to be buried in a kosher talus. The story about the Yesod B'Sherish HaAvoda, which is great, a phenomenal tzaddik, is that as they were lowering the body into the ground, there was no coffin, like here. There was no coffin. So a corner of the tzitzis got stuck against a nail, and it ripped. And they saw that as a sign from heaven that the custom should not be changed. With the Vilna Gaon, as you know, was Nifter Cholamayit Sukkis. Vilna Gaon was Nifter Cholamayit Sukkis. Is it the fifth day of Cholamayit? Fifth day of Cholamayit. I'm sorry, the fifth day of Sukkot, in Chutzlar and stuff would be, no, what's that? The Shpizin of Yaakov is the first day of Chol HaMoed, so it would be the third day of Sukkot. I remember the fifth day. Yeah, okay, but be it as it may, he had left the instruction with his Talmud, Rav Sadia. Rav Sadia was Mishamish, the guy, for the last 2 years of the guy's life. And Rav Sadia was with the guy all the time, but Ben Azmanim, for Sukkot, he went to visit his parents. And he hears right after Yom Kippur that the guy was Nifter. So he runs back to Vilna, but transportation was slow. So he gets there just as they're burying the guy, and they had followed the minhag of cutting off the talus because they didn't know what his instruction was. And when he protested, and he said, the guy said not to. So there was a basin and said, well, should we do it? We're in the middle of the Levaya, we already did it. Should we go back and put on a talus? And they were machlitz. that if it came out that Sadia did not come back until they did it already, that was a siman min hashamayim. Now, Rav Shach likes to be medayek. Rav Shach liked to be medayek in these two stories. I'm not sure it's such a deal, you could say. I think you'd almost say the opposite. He wanted to say that you see a slightly greater godless of the Groa, because with the Sefer Sherei Shavayda, there was a shtickle embarrassment. In other words, it was public that they didn't follow his will. That he actually had a kosher talis, and it tore, as if to say Hashem is saying, we don't accept what you're doing. With the Gra, most people didn't even realize that it was not his will. It was a shtickle, bit more covered. I would say, if you want to argue, what are we supposed to decide? But you can say, well, the Sefer Sherei Shavayda at least had the kosher talis on, at least it started that way. But I'll tell you something else about the Sefer Sherei Shavayda, a very interesting story. Do you know the story about the Ger Tzedek of Vilna? This was a son of a Polish nobleman, very wealthy family, the Potocki family. They were the biggest landowners in Poland. They were good landowners in Poland. In fact, Count Potocki owned 999 properties, and he made a point of 999. Somebody asked him, with your money, why don't you just buy another property, make it 1,000? He said, no. If I say I own 1,000 properties, people will think, that's an exaggeration, maybe it's 980, whatever it is. But when I say 999, they know exactly that's what I own. So I don't want to buy 1,000. So, be it as it may, their oldest son was Valentin Potocki. And for whatever reason, Valentin Potocki, as a young boy, used to go crazy every Shabbos. He didn't understand why. Shabbos, he was so restless. From a young age, he had a deep, deep yearning. He didn't even know any Jews to read the Torah, to be connected. And he eventually became a Ger, the Ger Tzedek of Vilna. He was known as Avraham ben Avraham, the Ger Tzedek of Vilna. And in those days, becoming Ger was not a simple thing. It was against the law, and you could be, in fact, he was killed. You could be burnt at the stake for rejecting Christianity.
Many years ago?
This was in the time of the Vilna Gaon, so this was 250 years ago. So he went into hiding, meaning he became, he moved into Vilna, and, he became a Nishter, his family didn't know, etc. But the story goes that a Yid was muster on him, a Yid informed, a Yid told the authorities. That's all Maisa, but once he was learning, and a kid was bothering him, and he said something harsh to the child, and the parent got offended, and the parents reported. And because the Potockis had so much connections, they basically told them, you can still be a Jew, you can be a frum Jew, just say you're a Christian. Just say you're a Christian and they'll let you alone, you can go back to learning. He refused. And he was in jail, and the Gra visited him in jail. And the Gra basically said, through Kabbalah, whatever it is, I can get you out. So he asked the Gra, am I mechuyev al pidin, al svechai bahem, bikuach nefesh, am I mechuyev al pidin to be released b'derech nes? So the Vilna Gaon says no, because the obligation of bikuach nefesh only requires that you utilize derech hateva, you're not mechuyev to utilize miracles. So he says, if so, I want to die al kiddush Hashem. He says, if I'm not mechuyev to save myself, I want to die al kiddush Hashem.
How can he could make a
mace
to save himself?
The Vilna Gaon said he could make a mace to save him.
What would he do?
Well, if I knew what he would do, I could do it. I mean, the Vilna Gaon through Kabbalah could basically have the prison collapse or whatever it could be, or transport the person. But it's an interesting halacha. Al pi halacha, v'chai b'hem does not obligate you to do a miracle.
Why doesn't it?
Because the Torah was given to people, and our obligations are to function within the natural order.
You're obligated to save yourself anyway. Again,
well, that's what he said. That's what the Vilna Gaon's Chiddush is. The Vilna Gaon's Chiddush is not chayav to do ma'aseh nisim. It's a similar idea to what Taisus says that if you do a malacha on Shabbos through a nes, it's not a malacha. It says Moshe Rabbeinu, on the last day of his life, wrote 13 Sifrei Torah. Now we have a Messiah, Moshe died on Shabbos. So Taisus asks the Kashin Menachos, How could he write 13 Sifrei Torah? Taisus's answer is, doing a malacha b'derech neis is not usher on Shabbos. He's doing a malacha b'derech neis. He says, same thing. So be it as it may, when on the second day of Shavuos, he was let out to be burnt. He was burnt his ashes. He's buried right next to the Vilna Gaon. To this day, the kever next to the Vilna Gaon is Rav Avram ben Avram. That's where his ashes are buried. And the only question he had a suffolk was like this. He had a suffolk whether he should run to his execution or walk slowly. Because on one hand, walk slowly because every minute he can keep himself alive, is every second he was always a mitzvah. On the other hand, the reason makdimim l'mitzvahs, he's going to die al kiddush Hashem, so you go as fast as you can. So they say that as he was being led to execution, the grass stuck out his head from the window and said, run, run, you should run. And he did. So the story goes that as he was being burnt, when they started burning, he made the bracha. There's actually a bracha you recite, you know, when God forbid a person dies al kiddush Hashem, and he fulfills the mitzvah of kiddush Hashem, you make a bracha, which is actually a bracha you say every day, but it's the same bracha. Bracha Hashem al malach olam. Actually, it's a little different. It's a little Asher kiddushanu v'mitzvah yisav b'tzivanu al kiddush Hashem. Some say the kaddish is shimcha v'rabin, like, they're different. I don't know if everybody said it, but yes, some said it. Rabbi Chaim Wasserman, it says before he was executed, said we should recite the bracha Kiddush Hashem. So those who knew, and story has it that the Yisayid Mesheresh Aveda came close enough to be able to answer Rabbi. Somehow he was able. You weren't allowed to get close, just like he does like today. You can't. When someone is executed, you can't get right there near them. But he managed to get close enough to hear the bracha, and he answered, "Amen, amen to the bracha." Yeah.
If a person doesn't say a bracha, he is still yotzei.
You're yotzei. But the yemer is your yotzei. Yeah. Now, Nazism is a complicated thing, actually. I'll tell you the truth. Nazism is a complicated thing because people clare, is that called death al kiddush Hashem? I'll tell you why. When a person dies, because he's a maimon in Torah, and he's given the chance to escape death by rejecting Hashem. And he doesn't, that's Kiddush Hashem. I'm willing to give my life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The problem with Nazi Germany, was that Hitler didn't care. I mean, let's say you would have said, I don't believe in Hashem, I don't believe in Torah, I want to become a Christian. You'd get killed anyway. You'd get killed anyway. In fact, there is a woman. She's officially a saint in the Catholic Church, Edith Stein, who unfortunately became a Mishumedes. She became a Catholic woman in the 1920s, and she became a nun. And she was deported to Auschwitz, and she died. And the Catholic Church canonized her because they said she died as a martyr to the Church, now, which makes no sense at all, because she didn't die as a martyr to the Church. But I'm saying, Otaka raises a shaila, is are the Jews who were killed in the Holocaust, is that al-Kiddush Hashem, since they had no choice, even if they didn't accept, even if they rejected the Torah, they would have died anyway. So they bring from a Tshuvas HaRambam, obviously written in a much, much earlier time, where the Rambam says that whenever a person dies because he's Jewish, even if he doesn't believe, even if he's not a maimon, if he dies because he's Jewish, then that is a Kiddush Hashem because he's like serving as Hashem's representative. Because every war against a Jew, like a Malek, is a war against Hashem. And therefore, if you are part of Hashem's army, even if you're drafted, you didn't want to be part of that army, so to speak. So you are sanctifying Hashem's name. That's what they bring from the Rambam, that anyone who is killed because of Jew. So apparently, given the fact that I know Rabbi Chanan and the like did say the bracha of Kiddush Hashem, so Vaishachais their Saimech on that Rambam. But as they say, halachically, it's not so much of that, because Nazi Germany was very different than the situation of the Ger Tzedek of Vilna. Yeah.
In Sefer Shem of Vilna Gaon, two things. When he was killed, if 10 people were there to say Amen to his bracha, Mashiach would have come, like Rez said. I was wondering, the other thing that the Mitzrayim saw brought down in Haggai, the biography, I'm reading now that Vilna Gaon said, when he was killed, the Ruach Ra.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. When do you decide that we can rely on something like that? You know,
well, you can't
rely on the Kula, you know, at least for Dalai Lama in the house.
Well, what?
He says that, you know, this idea that there's a Ruach Ra, spirits of impurity, that's why you can't walk more outmost without the Tzibur Shazayim. So he says that the death of this tzaddik created such kedusha in the world that the ruach ra has left. We have averus, of course, but these evil spirits are no longer here because of the he broke it. Again, halacha, you can't be saying that. But he says so this is it. So why did I bring this up? I'm not sure why I brought it up. What was the connection? But again, I think Meir's pshat is a very nice pshat. But that's why shanim, clothing, which is protection, is the lo sase. Adornment, the necklace, is the ase.
I don't know if he's saying it's a necklace. I think he's just saying it's some sort of tashit.
Or tashit, okay. And sheish, which is linen, again, the Gra says that's from Remus to sheish, the great Mishnah, which is Torah Shabbat Peh. Why is our Gomon exactly Torah Shabbat Chassab? It's not really clear, but it's consistent with what the Gra says elsewhere, that Torah Shabbat Chassab is a source of great, great sodos. Its ultimate meaning is mystified, it's beyond us. And that's a remez. Our garment is also a remez to the color that colors. Either you can't see the underlying garments because the color covers it up. And that's a remez to the sod and the inaccessibility. Now, the next pasuk again. Yeah.
Is it okay to add something that
sure.
The guy who ran into his steak?
Yes, Rebbe. Yes.
Wasn't when Rav Chanan ben Chadron, he was getting burnt, he didn't want to quicken it. So why is that we don't differ from that? Although, and then he did quicken it.
Yeah.
It was only because of the good. It's not, I'll quicken it because, you know,
It's a little, I guess it's a little different. I think there's a difference between walking to your execution versus doing a maisa that causes, in other words, when you're already on the fire, to do a physical maisa that brings, in other words, what is it that he's doing? They told him, open up your mouth so the fire would come in. So that's what he said, I'm not going to do it, Hashem should take my neshama. I would say over there, he's already in the process of the kiddush Hashem. There, prolonging the agony is actually being maris in the kiddush Hashem, right? But here, he's running to the experience that'll be
mekadesh. What's the death of kiddush? Kiddush is actually the death.
Kiddush Hashem is the willingness to suffer for the Ribbono Shel Olam.
Death is not
so for kids, right? To try to die too quickly is almost a cutting down of the kiddush Hashem.
But I'm saying, but theoretically, it's strange.
Well, that's true.
The person was at the stake and he was starting to burn, and somehow he got saved at the last second, or he would end up not being.
Well, I'm not sure what's that. I mean, the person's Makayim Kiddush Hashem in all sorts of levels. I mean, the highest level of Kiddush Hashem is to die on Kiddush Hashem. But every moment that you don't turn your back on Hashem, you're Makayim the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem.
The way Hashem conducts with us has changed in recent history. Maybe I'm mistaken, but before Hashem used to test people on certain intervals, at certain consistency, and it used to be uniform. Now it's like everything's good, and then there's a time of judgment, and when it rains and pours, and then it's all good again. Maybe I'm wrong, but like it's like, you know, Hashem, every now and then will test people like this, but now there's no test. When there's a test, it's like that's a final exam. It's like,
Things come in much more radical, drastic.
It's like It's a, yeah, you know, it's like, is it throughout history, it's always been like this? Like, in a way, the Spanish Inquisition, like, before that, was it, like, very good, and then it went out very bad, or...
Well, what happens often in Jewish history is that in times of affluence and prosperity, so the Torah itself says that the Jews leave Hashem, right? The Torah is mayit, that precisely when things are affluent and good, you'll forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then there'll be tremendous chorban. So Spain was an example of that. The Holocaust was an example of that too, because Germany, now although, again, it's interesting, the Jews of Poland, I mean, the bulk of the Jews that were killed, more than 3 million, more than half, were in Poland. And Poland Jews were not prosperous, they were poor, but the Mesher Chachma says, the Mesher Chachma predicted, it's a very famous passage, that there would be a Korban coming from Germany, because Germany was the reform movement, Germany was the Enlightenment, Germany Jews were really the highest members of the culture in all ways. And when Jews forget about Hashem, then Chas V'Shalom, they're difficult. Gezeiros that come.
Is there a reason why Hashem doesn't, test us with the gear that went to the fire? Or, because in the last,
why he doesn't test us now, you mean? What do you mean?
We've been tested. If a person excludes the Holocaust, since then, there was like Hashem in a way, like.
Well, you know.
I mean, it's a good thing in a way. It's a good thing. But is it possible that the neshamas that strong neshamas get strong tests? Yes. Weak neshamas get. I mean, the fact that we're not.
That's very true.
We're not on the level. It could be so.
But on the other hand, there are tests all the time.
There
are victims of terrorism. People are tested. Not everybody's tested, and again, Hashem doesn't bring Holocaust, you know, every day. We're Hashem. We don't have that situation. But certainly, there are many, many nisyonos. But we also pray every day that Hashem shouldn't give us nisyonos, because we're not sure we'll be able to take them. But it is true that Hashem tests people who are able to be omed the nisyon. Right? We don't know for omed. They say the Chazon Ish. After the Holocaust, he said, "I'm saying he was very surprised, obviously," and he said that. He was always crying. He says, why wasn't I zeicha to die with my brothers in Europe? And he felt, I mean, obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a different cheshbon and a different reason, and we all know the reason, but the Chazanish actually felt that he lost something by not dying with Rosh Hashanah. Okay. Pasuk Chav Gimel. Naida v'sha'arim v'ayla v'shifta yimziknei oretz. So again, Pashat Pshat. Her husband is known in the gates as he sits with the elders of the land. So simple meaning that an Eishes Chayil creates an organized home, a home in which there's menuchas hanefesh, there is serenity, there is calmness, and therefore the husband is able to accomplish things on the outside. Now the outside, we hope, would be the world of Torah. But if it's not the world of Torah, it could also be the world of business, whatever it is. He's able to be known. He's known. He can sit with the Zekanim. Now Zekanim doesn't mean, you know, the old men playing checkers. Ziknei Haaretz. Ziknei Haaretz here refers to Talmidei Chachamim, or distinguished people. And Gates, of course, is, remember that in the Torah itself, the Torah talks about when you go to a basement, Sha'arecha, they used to have the Batei Din in the gates of the cities outside. So it means he's a person who can go where the Talmidei Chachamim are. And it's making a very important point that the atmosphere that a wife creates in the home is what enables the husband to go out and accomplish what he accomplishes. Which is why, and again, before we even get to the Vilna Gaon, I want to emphasize this because, as they say, we're sometimes so interested in going to the more advanced explanations that we don't think about the meaning of the simple explanation, which is 100% true. And that is how much a husband must be makir tov to his wife for the ability that he has to do whatever he's doing. You know, on one hand, sometimes we have the idea, well, a woman's job is supposed to support her husband in Torah. Well, if a woman does, remember, under the ksuba, a husband is mechuyev to support his wife. That's a chiyev in the ksuba. If, in fact, she has agreed, because of the own goodness of her heart, that she will support the husband while he's learning, this is a chesed of the highest order. This is not a magiyali. This is not something she had to do. It's not something she was mechuyev to do. She has the absolute right to be mechuyev the husband to make a parnasa. But she's moseris nefesh, so the husband has a chiyev. The husband's chiyev is hakara satov every single day that happens. And because of this, he becomes naida b'sharim baila. Now, here the Gra says the following. Now here, once again, the Gra is learning that the Eishes Chayil is the Torah and the Baal is the Talmud Chacham, right? So this is it. It goes back and forth. And Naida B'Sharim Baila is actually a very beautiful idea. It refers to Olam Haba. And it's saying the following. It says that when a Neshama, when a Talmud Chacham says, you know the Gemara, Talmud Chacham has no Menucha even in Olam Haba. Why is there no Menucha? So it says, it takes him to yeshiva to tell over his Chidushei Torah. So, you know, Moshe has a yeshiva and Avram has a yeshiva, right? So he says he goes from yeshiva to yeshiva to yeshiva. And that's what it means. Through the Yischabras of the Talmud Chacham to the Torah, he gets known among all the Zikanim. And Ziknei Aras, the Gra says, is a remes to the Abais, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They'll get to know him in Olam Haba because of his kayach to the Torah. That's Naida Basha'arim. Sha'arim means the Sha'arim of Olam Haba, and he will be able to dwell with the Ziknei Aretz, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And they're called Ziknei Aretz, the Gra says, because the Gemara tells us, Avram is called a Zaken v'yeshev v'yeshiva, Shenemar Avram Zaken v'abayamim, Yitzchak yeshev v'yeshiva v'iki Zaken Yitzchak, and Yaakov Zaken, right? So Ziknei Aretz, all three of the others are called Zakenim, and that is B'shiftei, Im Ziknei Aretz.
And that one could be, I have a simplistic view of the Olam Haba, but I thought that's where the, if we don't have, we get to learn from Hashem, not that this guy is teaching everyone, but we're learning from Hashem at the market.
Well, you have to, yeah, it's hard for us to understand, because first of all, it's hard for me to understand a lot of things. If every Talmud Chacham, or every, or at least, exceptional Talmud Chacham have their own yeshiva. I mean, so if Rashi is teaching, you know, isn't Rashi getting cheated because Rashi could learn from Moshe Rabbeinu, right? So how you're doing it is. So you're going to have to assume that, you know, because you have Nitzchias, infinite time, so, you know, you get to do everything. So there's going to be a time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the Shir Klali, you know, once a week, whatever it is, and then you have morning Seder, afternoon Seder, so everything gets balanced, that each person learns Lepi the Madrega, that they were Zaycha. Now, the next pasuk, I'll tell you a very, very, well, it says, Sadin Asasava Timkor, so again, this is talking about her skills as a businesswoman. A Sadin is like a blanket or a garment, like a cape or a cloak. Sadin Asasa, she makes the Sadin and she sells it. The Chagor and the belt, the Gartel, Naslan Kanani, she gives to the Canaanite. Now, here, although it's a bit of an unusual lashon, you do see in several other places that Kanani does not mean a Canaanite, but it just means a business person. That the Canaanim were so well known for their commerce that a merchant was called the Kanani. So she sells the Sadin and she gives the Chagur, meaning she makes things and sells things. But here I'll tell you a nice maisa. You know, the Nitziv, who is the Shiva of Elajan, somewhat unusually for the Litvish Rosh Hashivas, was a very, very big bucky in Tanakh and in Diktik. Yet it's following the Gra who had the same Mahalik. The Nitziv lived as a time of the Haskalah. There were many Maskilim, and some Maskilim were from, some were not from. You know, there were different levels of Maskilim. But one of the common features of a typical European Maskil was that they were not so much into Gemara. They thought Gemara was too technical and complex. And they did a lot of stuff in Tanakh and Diktuk. That was their big thing. You know, Bible language, Diktuk, although Maskilim themselves were complicated. Some Maskilim were Yiddish writers, some were Hebrew writers, and some were, they were so assimilated they wanted to do Russian, Polish, and German. They didn't even want to do Hebrew, Yiddish, and the like. But there were Maskilim who were into Diktuk, into Tanakh. In fact, to this very day, part of why Tanakh is not encouraged in the yeshivas is it's really a legacy of Haskalah, because in Europe, if you were a Tanakh person, you were suspect. Perhaps you were one of the Maskilim who were not so from. So it became a stigma. To learn Tanakh became a stigma. And even today, we still have that stigma to some level. So if you want to learn Tanakh, you got to go to a side room together with your Tanya, whatever it is. Or with Nachman. Although we had the Siva Shalom, we allowed that we allowed.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That
he didn't say at the time. Yes. So you're okay. Okay. Yeah. So one of the Maskilim once asked him to say, and he said, "Very impressive." He said, "Wrote a parish on Kabbalah." That you know, Chayra. All we do is Tanakh and Diktuk. And you know, we come up with Haaretz, but you spend a fraction of your time, your whole day, you know, is mainly on Gemara, Paiskim, Rishayim, Achrayim, Shuvas, and a little bit of time you devote to Tanakh and Diktuk. How do you come up with such beautiful explanations? So he says like this, and the Siv gave a mashal. He says there's a mashal about, let's say, a business, right? A business sells, you have a gift shop. So you sell pictures, and you sell vases, and you sell flowers, and people buy, and then you do gift wrapping. You wrap it up for them, and they take it away. So there once was a poor yid. He had no way of making a parnasa. He has no money to buy anything to sell. So he walks by, and he notices this beautiful gift shop. The people are buying gifts, and they get all this free gift wrapping. So he figures the gift wrapping is for free. So he goes into the store and said, "I would like 10 rolls of gift wrapping." So they say, "Well, you have to pay 20 rubles." He says, "Why do I have to pay? I see you do the gift wrapping for free. I want the gift wrapping so I can sell it for my parnasa." So they said, "You don't understand. When you buy merchandise, you get the gift wrapping for free. But if all you want is the wrapping, you got to pay for it." So the Siv says, that was the same mashal. He says, the ikar of Torah is to try to understand the halachas, to work through the sugyas, the Rishayim and the Achrayim, that's the Gufa Shel Torah. Then we have Pshatim here and there, and the Chumash and the Tanakh and the Psukim, Parfurais, like little delightful thoughts. They are the gift wrapping. So when a person is Zaycha to invest in the merchandise, Hashem gives them the gift wrapping for free. But if all you guys want is the gift wrapping, if all you want to spend your time doing, you got to pay for it. You got to put in the time. You got to put in the effort. You're not going to get the gift of the gift wrapping without the investment in the Torah. So they say, then it says, this is Merumah Zanashis Chayil. Because look what it says. Sadin Asasava Timkor. She makes a sadin and she sells it. Now Chagor means the belt. So he interprets that to mean the wrapping. Meaning, if you pay for the merchandise, Chagor, you get the belt for free. But if all you want is the belt, you got to pay for it. Right? This is, they say, again, I think it's Machlekes, if this is from the Nitziv or Chaim Volozhin, some actually say it's from Chaim Volozhin, but I think it's maybe more Mishtaber than from the Nitziv, because the Nitziv, was at a time when there were more Maskilim around. Yeah.
Is that what we should do with spending most time on Shas and Paschal like Yeshiva does, and then in the science times?
I would say basically that's right. But again, it depends on the person. You know, it depends on the person. There's also Mashal Libo Chafetz, which is yet another point. But the point basically is that if a person really devotes himself to Shas and Paschal, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will open up his mind to be able to absorb other things in a quicker way, because his mind will be open, will be doubled in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, how does the Gra interpret this? Pasuk does not mention this. So here, the Gra's Mahalach is the following. Let me remind you a little bit of an earlier Pasuk. If you look at the earlier, an earlier pasuk, Chag Rabbi Yais, pasuk Yitzayim. This is a Ches pasuk. Chagra bi'oz masneha. Chagra, so notice chagor, right? Same word. Chagra. She girds with strength her loins. Vaka'ameit sarosaha. And she strengthens her arms. She girds her loins and strengthens her arms. So if you remember, the Gra said, this refers to the siyata dishmaya that the Torah gives those who support Torah. And he explains, there are two types of supporters of Torah. There are people who support Torah financially. They give the money. And they are described as the legs or the thighs. Just as the thighs keep the body up, so those who financially support Torah keep the Torah. That's why I mentioned the Zohar last week, that when the angel of Esav smote Yaakov on the thigh, the Zohar says the curse of Esav was that the financial support of Torah is going to be weak. Right? So a Chag Rabbi Yais means Hashem will give strength to the Machzikei Torah. That even though it's a sacrifice to support Torah, Hashem will give you the strength to do it. Now the other support of Torah is what we call Mishamish Talmidei Chachamim, those who physically assist the Talmid Chacham. You drive around to Rosh Hashiva, you set up the Beis Medrash, you physically do what needs to be done, and that's called the arms, right? So the thigh are the Machzikei Torah, and the Zeroos, the arms, are those who physically are helping Talmidei Chachamim to do what they need to do, which is also a great thing. That's what Chazal say. Gadol Shimusha Yoser Melimuta. Serving the Talmud Chacham on some level can even be greater. You can learn things that you couldn't. When we say something's greater, by the way, it's interesting point. Even though it's counterintuitive, when I say one thing is greater than another, that doesn't necessarily mean you should do it. For example, the Gemara says, Gadol Talmud Torah Yaiser Me'atzolas Nefashos. The Gemara says, learning Torah is greater than saving a life. That's a Gemara. Now what does that mean? That doesn't mean if I have a choice between saving a life and learning, I'm supposed to learn. The halacha is v'adai v'chayiv me to stop learning to save a life. Right? So just because something is greater, that doesn't always mean that's what you do. Sometimes the halacha says you have to sacrifice that which is greater to do that. But it does mean that the kedusha you would have gotten by Talmud Torah is greater than the kedusha you're getting by saving a life. But the Torah says you got to be willing to give it up. Now the same thing here. When I say Gadol Shimusha Le'yesh Milimuta, it's the same idea. That doesn't always mean stop learning all the time to be Mishavish. Usually the halacha says if it's a mitzvah that somebody else can do and they're not learning, you're supposed to learn. But it does mean that by being Mishamish at Talmud Chacham, you can get something. You can get a certain dimension that you would not get by pure learning alone. Okay. But as I say, it's not necessarily a guide as to what you do in any given moment. So we have these two levels. The Masnayim, the thigh, are the financial Machzikei Torah, and the Zeroos, the arms, are those who physically help. Yeshivos, help Talmidei Chachamim, etc. And I would also include in that category, they also provide emotional support. In other words, they're machshiv, by showing this kavod to the Talmud Chacham, the yeshiva, they're being machshiv Torah.
Sorry, yeah. Who gives the emotional support?
Huh?
Who gives the emotional support?
The emotional support is primarily those who physically help. Because sometimes the person writes a check, he doesn't necessarily care that much. But if you're physically involved, that really shows you have an emotional pressure as well. So going back to this.
So COVID helps out the Talmud Chacham?
Say again?
COVID.
Does it help the Talmud Chacham? Well, it does. Yeah, it actually does in the sense that a Talmud Chacham or a Ben Yeshiva, let's say, a Ben Yeshiva, people need a sense of validation in the world. Now, you might say the highest tzaddik may not need it, but I'll tell you, even Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, who was a great, Chachalot was a great, great guy in Torah, he used to talk about the fact, I don't know why, but for some reason, sometimes when he gave a shiur, guys would walk out. I don't know exactly why. I've experienced it, but my shiur is not his shiur, so I don't know. But he said himself that he had chalisha sadas when people walked out. Now, you might say, well, he was very honest. One thing about Chaim Shmulevitz was, he was a very, very honest person. He didn't, you know, he said things that maybe a Rosh Hashiva normally wouldn't want to say. But he said he wanted people to understand about Midos and Derech Eretz. So he would say, I feel bad when people walk out. Because even a Rosh Hashiva needs a sense that people are machshuv what he says. It's not gaiva, it's not like the boast or whatever it is, but just the sense that, you know, people are machshuv what he's doing. So human beings need that. You know, not everybody can reach the highest, the highest level. So the emphasis is Ben Yeshiva, and Ben Yeshiva, who's not yet a Gadolador, certainly needs a sense. That's why in Slobodka, other yeshivas, they made a big deal about dressing. Sometimes you look at the pictures today, people in the yeshiva are not, everyone dressed in black, whatever it is, but if you look at the pictures, they were like kind of, you know, dapper European gentlemen. I saw a picture of Rabbi Steinman from the 1940s, you know, kind of like, you know, the hat is at a very, you know, at a tilt, you know, all those different things. Now, this was a deliberate strategy, because it wanted to give them a sense that they were professional people. They weren't bench warmers, they weren't beggars, they weren't people who couldn't do things in the world. And there was this deliberate sense. Now, sometimes it turned into gaiva. That actually is a downside. Sometimes it gave them a sense of superiority over the Baal HaBatim. That's not a good thing. But there is a basic sense of an inner chashivas that a person needs. So the Talmud Chacham needs to have a sense that people are machshuv what he's doing. You know, so it's kind of, Chayni HaMagel, what can I tell you? Chayni HaMagel. Chayni HaMagel, the Gemara says what? He was our Rip Van Winkle. He was asleep for 20 years. And he comes back, and people are saying, oh, if only Chayni HaMagel, I'm sorry, not 20, 70 years, not 20 years, 70 years. And he comes back, and people in the Beis Medrash have a kash, and they say, oh, if only, you know, Choni would be here from the altar generation, like if only the Chofetz Chaim would be here, you know, we would have a terrace. And Choni says, I'm here. And they said, you're crazy. And he says, you know, he went and he died. So the Bali Musters say, okay, you learn more different ways. But the Pshat is that people weren't machshuv anymore. There was no one who thought he was significant. They just thought he was a crazy man. So even Choni is nostalgic. You know, even Choni needs that sense that people appreciate what he's able to offer. Yeah.
Why didn't you just say the answer?
Huh? I don't know exactly. They didn't listen. They just thought he's such a crazy guy. Comes in and says, you know. Although they say, interesting thing. They say that like 1947, 1948, a man who had been trapped in Russia ever since Stalin, whatever it is, you know, winds up in Yerushalayim. And he goes to, maybe it was even later, maybe it was even in the 70s, but he was trapped for many, many years. He didn't know a single from Yid, but he had lived in Brisk in the time of Reb Chaim. And he comes to Brisk and he sees a Brisk yeshiva in Yerushalayim and he hears people learning. And, you know, he's a little senile at times. So he just says, is Reb Chaim still alive? This is like 50 years after Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim is still here? So the MS is, Reb Chaim Kake is here. Reb Chaim was here. So the MS is, Reb Chaim was still here. So, yeah, I think it was like 1970, I think it was like many, many years, many decades after Reb Chaim. Okay. So based on that, the Gemara learns Pasuk Chavdala is going back on the Machzike Taira, and it says the financial supporters. She sells them He says, Sodin Asusavatimkor are to those who physically, let me just start from the second half first. Chagor Nasnal Laknami, since we find that the Machzike Torah are the legs, and they're girded, they have the Chagor, so this is the Chagor she gives to them, and that's a remez to the Koach she gives them. And that she gives them the koach. Again, it goes back So the question is, it's really the same idea as Chagra Bios Masnaha is the Chagor she gives to the Kananim, and that is the Koach to be Machzike Torah. And the Sadin is what is given to the people who physically help Talmidei Chachamim. Now, what is the Sadin? So here, he quotes the following. He says, I'll read you what he says. He quotes a Gemara in Maseches Brachas. The Gemara in Maseches Brachas says, Bar Kapara have a mazvin mili bedinri. Bar Kapara would sell his words for money, meaning to say that, it doesn't mean he charged it, but it means that he was so medayek in his words, it's as if each word was worth money, meaning he wouldn't speak more than was necessary. And these are words of Bishon Derech Eretz. And one of the things he said was, Ezeu sadinai shel Talmud Chacham. What is a sadin, right? A Talmud Chacham wears a cloak. How does a Talmud Chacham wear a cloak? So it mentions, Kol she'ein chaluko nireis mitachtav tepech. Meaning a Talmud Chacham dresses in a dignified way, so his outer cloak covers his entire body, and the undershirt, or the undergarment, is not visible, a tefach below the rim of the robe. Meaning, it's making a point that a Talmud Chacham needs to dress in a dignified manner. So if he's wearing, let's say, an outer robe over an inner long shirt, the outer robe extends below the inner long shirt. Now, the Vilna Gaon says earlier, see, this is an example where you have to look at earlier things that he said. The Vilna Gaon said that this is really a remez to midos, because what we talk about is the following. The inner chaluk of a person are the taibas that a person has. A person has different taibas, different urges, and the Talmud Chacham, through working on himself, is able to control, is able to cover up, is able to keep it inside and not necessarily let it come out, whether it be anger or egotism or selfishness or irritation. So what are we saying? The sadin of a Talmud Chacham is symbolic of his ability to keep inside of him the negativities that might otherwise emerge to hurt people. So the Vilna Gaon says, Eibazai, what the Torah is promising is this. If you are Mishamesh a Talmud Chacham, and you're Machzik Torah in that way, you will be given the Sadin, meaning you will be given the Midas Tovos. That's the gift that you'll get. Hang around Talmidei Chachamim in a respectful way, you will get the Sadin, again, using that Gemara that the Sadin of the Talmud Chacham covers up the Chaluk. Right? Now, you won't necessarily get that by merely writing a check, because in order for the Midos Tovos to rub off on you, you have to have actual korva with the Talmud Chacham. Now, if you're the Kanani, you're the merchant, you're the business guy, so there you'll get the chagor, meaning you'll get the strength. Hashem will give you the strength to continue giving. There's no guarantee about the Midos. That's a separate thing. Right? So that's how the Gra learns. So what he's doing is, again, it's a very fascinating idea, because, see, the one thing that bothers me a little bit about the methodology is that Sadin intrinsically does not connote Midah. In other words, it only means Midah because of a Gemara that uses the Sadin of the Talmud. So this is almost a reverse chronology. You're using a mashal the Gemara made, and then saying, and that's what the pasuk means by the word sadin. Meaning, since the sadin of the Talmud Chacham covers up the chaluk, the undershirt, and since that means in turn that the sadin is the koach to hold back the negativities that might be within, so memela this pasuk by the Machzike Torah is saying that you who are mishamish the Talmud Chacham, you will get the sadin. And you who support the Talmud Chacham, you will get the odes, the strength, to keep on doing what you need to do. Okay. But then, paradoxically, we then use, you see, it's interesting. So, Chagor Nasna Laknani, now before, the Machzik Torah was described as Chagra Bi'oz Masneha. Right? So the Chagor is the same thing as saying he'll get the O's. But here it then says O's, but now it's going to be a new meaning, because this is going back to the time of Chagor. O's Vahadar Levusha. Yeah, we'll just do this pasuk, and then we'll leave the rest of it for next week. O's Vahadar. Now, O's Vahadar is famous for two reasons today. O's Vahadar is the name of the great publishing house, which is a bit controversial, actually, but...
Well, it's controversial
because I don't even know exactly. In other words, because it's a very Haredi Hasidic publishing house, so in some of their publications they'll leave out Rav Kook, they'll leave out certain Gedolim who are not on the approved list. So at various points, people point out different things that are being deleted here and there. So they tiny because
or not put in at all.
But Oz Vahadar is also the name of the Hebrew name of the Oz Vahadar Levusha, is the name of the Rav Falk's book on Sneas of Women, which is a very, very popular book, but also a controversial book because he's extremely extremely machmer and preoccupied with all of these aspects of Sneas, but whatever. Oz Vahadar Levusha. But again, the simple meaning is this pasuk is not talking about tznius. Even if it's talking about a woman, it is saying her garments are strength and beauty. Again, it's describing the notion of determination, but at the same time an inner beauty in which she does not have to, it does reflect circumstances, not so much in dress. The idea that she doesn't have to be in the forefront, she can be in the back. Even though she is the strength of the bias. O's and Hadar. That's a beautiful combination. Normally, someone that has strength and determination tends to be like a steamroller. They have to be the one that's always getting recognition. But O's and Hadar is this mila that you can have strength and determination, but can have the beauty of being sanua. So there's a reference of sneas, although not necessarily in dress. But the Gaon says the following idea. The Gaon says a very beautiful idea. That is, there's a Gemara that we've mentioned before, that he's mentioned before, Gemara in Pesachim, that for the first 40 years of your life, eating is more important than drinking. Meaning in your meal, more food, less drinking. After 40, you need to drink more. I don't mean alcohol, although they say alcohol can help you, but drinking more water, whatever it would be. So the Gra interpreted that to mean the following. The Gra interpreted, if you remember, lechem and yayin, remember this is nothing? Lechem, bread, is the halachas of Torah, the revealed part of the Torah. Wine is the sod, the inner meaning of Torah. So the Gra interprets it this way. For the first 40 years of your life, your eager learning has to be bread. Halacha, I don't mean halacha l'maisa necessarily, but shas, poskim, gemara. After the age of 40, assuming you've learned for 40 years or so many years, then you're able to absorb the wine of Torah. So the drinking actually means wine over here, right? So that's the meaning. For 40 years, you eat bread. After 40 years, you drink wine. Now,
He's quoting,
that's a gemara in Pesachim. But the interpretation is his interpretation. He's interpreting, the Gemara just says, 40 years you eat and afterwards you drink. He's interpreting that bread is the nigla of Torah, and yayin, the drinking, is the nister of Torah, sodos, agadita, midrash, that only when a person has a strong, strong foundation, this is why even the Rishonim say, one should not learn nister, one should not learn Kabbalah, till one has filled themselves up with shas and poskim, and one is at least 40 years old.
Is that 40 when you start learning then, or is that 40?
Yeah. No, it seems to be 40, because 40 is the age of Bina, so that's 40 years.
But then, if the idea of 40 is that you learn a certain amount of shas, then
well,
it seems to be dependent on different things.
Well, it's two different things. In other words, there are two conditions here. Your mamale kreisa b'shasu paiskin.
That could be lambda.
That could be a 20. That could be a 20. I mean, even the Arizal died at 39. I mean, obviously the rumors of both of that are yotze in the club. Now, he then says another thing.
He doesn't tell you the Gemara that you should drink wine, though.
Huh?
He doesn't tell you the Gemara that you should drink wine.
Who?
The Gemara is not saying that you should drink as you have to 40. Drink alcohol as opposed to...
Well, based on his interpretation, the Gemara is referring to wine, but wine means mystery.
Right, it's not totally...
Yeah. Now, he then brings another puzzle, right? So that's one... So he brings out Gemara. He brings out Gemara. Then he brings a pasuk in Mishlei, and you'll see how he connects the two pieces. Tiferes bachurim kocham. The glory of the young is their strength. Right? A young man can have a lot of pride in his physical strength. Hadar zakenim, the beauty of a zaken is a saber, is the old age that he attains. So you see from here the following. That the bachor, the young man, is described as having koach. And the zaken is described as having hadar. So now, what the Gra is doing is, he's lining up the Gemara with the pasuk. The Gemara tells us, for 40 years, you eat bread, which is halacha. And after 40, you drink wine, which is nister and sod. The young man has koach, and the old man has hadar. So with that matchup, he wants to say, koach refers to the eon in halacha of shas and poskin, and hadar, which is beauty, is the wine of sod. See what he's doing? In other words, what he's doing is, he is taking a gemara, of 40 years you eat bread, and afterwards you drink wine, and then he interprets that. Then he matches it up with koach and hador. And now the final step is, since oz is a synonym for koach, oz vahadar levusha. You see how it's accumulating. Oz vahadar levusha is the sum total of what he's accomplished in his life. The strength of being ma'ayin in halacha, which is capped by the beauty of absorbing the secrets of the Torah. And that will be his, actually her garment, because remember, we're talking about the Talmud Chacham as the Eishes Chayil, that will be his garment in Olam Haba. He will come with oz and hadar, and as a result, he will laugh. She will laugh. But when the last day comes, the last day, of course, is the Yom HaMisa. Because laughing in the sense that if one accomplished their mission in life, and they come, when you come with Oz Vadar, the Yom HaMisa now becomes a great day of coming back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not something to be scared about, because Vatishak L'Yom HaAcherin. Now, the Gra then brings, like the Gra brings from the Yushalmi. The Yushalmi's lesson is, Marin lahem secharam ve'inan chadoyim. Hashem will show the Talmidei Chachamim their reward, and they will rejoice. Tishchak, the Yom HaAchrei. Now, he then brings something on his own, which is seems not to have any other mocker than the Gra himself, and that is, Oiz is a remez to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And Hadar, beauty, is a remez to Sukkot, because after all, the lulav and the esrog is described as creates Hadar, beautiful fruit. And the Yom Acharon, the laughter, is Shemini Atzeres. And in this pasuk, actually, the Sefer Shalom actually has all the riddles. He says Shemini Atzeres is merumas to Olam Haba. It's interesting, but Tishchak L'Yom HaAchrin, because Shmini, the notion of the eighth day, eighth is L'mayla min HaTeva. The natural order of the world is 6 days of creation, followed by Shabbos, and then it repeats. Eight is above the level of nature. That's why...
Well, it depends, actually, you could look at a week as being 8 days.
Yeah. Why? How do you get
a
little
different gallon? Technically, you could.
You could, but that's not how Hashem made it. In other words, the fact that the Seder HaBriah, you could make up anything, you could have a 10-day calendar. You know, Stalin, at some point, Stalin knew you had to give people a day off. They couldn't work all the time. But he so much wanted to be Iker, the idea of Shabbos or even Sunday, 7 days from consciousness. In the 1920s, he tried to make a 10-day calendar, meaning you work for 9 days and you get a 10th day off. But it didn't work. There was something in the rhythm of people. So, I mean, it comes back to Bria Sa'ilam. Yeah, so arbitrarily you can do anything you want. But Hashem made a cycle. The Bria runs through a cycle that repeats itself over and over again. So 8 is L'mayla Minatava. That's why Bris Milah is the 8th day. Hashem's connection with Am Yisrael is above the laws of nature. Logically, there should not be a Jewish people. It's a miracle. It's really a miracle. There's no historical, logical reason why Jews should exist. Rav Yaakov Emden writes that the miracle of the Nitzchias of Am Yisrael is a greater miracle than Yitzchias Mitzrayim. People say, why aren't there any miracles today? The fact that Jews are here is the greatest of miracles. So Shemini Atzeres is 8, or Ma'irim and Atemah. But again, Ois strength is a term we use for Midas Adin. So Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are Yemei Din, when we turn to Hashem with the Avodah of Yira. Hadar, beauty, is associated with Ava, with love. And therefore, Ois v'Hadar Levusha, so it's also telling me, Rosh Hashanah are Yemei Din, Sukkis are Yemei Simcha and Ava, and we result, and together they result in the ultimate joy of Shemini Atzeres Vayisa Achsameach. Huh? So Lavush would mean, again, the Baal Torah is mislabesh in the midos of Ava, Yiras Hashem and Ava Hashem, and then can experience the Simcha Vayilam Abba that's in Shemini Atzeres. Yeah.
Would this be like, after Yom Kippur, we say that we've been gone through the dry cleaner, so our Lavush is more beautiful than we say?
No, that's very correct. In other words, after you go through that process, the Lavush is now able to be so clean that for Tishrak you can laugh as you enter Shemini Atzeres, which is the Bechina of Eilam Eilam Abba. Maybe we'll stop here.
So Tishrak is like
the idea of Sukkot. So you have Yira and Simcha together. Right. So in Yitzchak you have to combine the Sechaik and the Din.